Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, the scripture reading for this morning hour can be found in the book of Numbers, the 19th chapter. Numbers chapter 19, after the reading of the law, and afterwards the form for the administration of holy baptism. Numbers 19. But first, let us sing Psalter number 1, the first three stanzas. That man is blessed who, fearing God, from sin restrains his feet, who will not stand with wicked men, who shuns the scorner's seat. 1, 2, and 3 of Psalter number 1.
We will first read the law of God. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Numbers chapter 19. And the Lord spake unto Moses and unto Aaron, saying, This is the ordinance of the law which the Lord hath commanded, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, that they bring thee a red heifer without spot, wherein is no blemish, and upon which never came yoke. And ye shall give her unto Eleazar the priest, that he may bring her forth without the camp, and one shall slay her before his face. And Eleazar the priest shall take of her blood with his finger, and sprinkle of her blood directly before the tabernacle of the congregation 7 times. And one shall burn the heifer in his sight, her skin and her flesh and her blood and her dung shall he burn. And the priest shall take cedar wood and hyssop and scarlet and cast it into the midst of the burning of the heifer. Then the priest shall wash his clothes, and he shall bathe his flesh in water. And afterward he shall come into the camp, and the priest shall be unclean until the even. And he that burneth her shall wash his clothes in water, and bathe his flesh in water, and shall be unclean until the even. And a man that is clean shall gather up the ashes of the heifer, and lay them up without the camp in a clean place. And it shall be kept for the congregation of the children of Israel, for a water of separation. It is a purification for sin. And he that gathereth the ashes of the heifer shall wash his clothes, and be unclean until the even. And it shall be unto the children of Israel, and unto the stranger that sojourneth among them, for a statute forever. He that toucheth the dead body of any man shall be unclean 7 days. He shall purify himself with it on the third day, and on the seventh day he shall be clean. But if he purify not himself the third day, then the seventh day he shall not be clean. Whosoever toucheth the dead body of any man that is dead and purifieth not himself defileth the tabernacle of the Lord, and that soul shall be cut off from Israel, because the water of separation was not sprinkled upon him. He shall be unclean, his uncleanness is yet upon him. This is the law. When a man dieth in a tent, at that all that come into the tent, and all that is in the tent shall be unclean 7 days. And every open vessel which hath no covering bound upon it is unclean. And whosoever toucheth one that is slain with a sword in the open fields, or a dead body, or a bone of a man, or a grave, shall be unclean 7 days. And for an unclean person, they shall take of the ashes of the burnt heifer of purification for sin, and running water shall be put thereto in a vessel, and a clean person shall take hyssop and dip it in the water and sprinkle it upon the tent and upon all the vessels and upon the persons that were there and upon him that toucheth a stone or one slain or one dead or a grave. And the clean person shall sprinkle upon the unclean on the third day, and on the seventh day, and on the seventh day he shall purify himself, and wash his clothes, and bathe himself in water, and shall be clean at even. But the man that shall be unclean, and shall not purify himself, that soul shall be cut off from among the congregation, because he hath defiled the sanctuary of the Lord. The water of separation hath not been sprinkled upon him. He is unclean. And it shall be a perpetual statute unto them, that he that sprinkleth the water of separation shall wash his clothes, and he that toucheth the water of separation shall be unclean until even. And whatsoever the unclean person toucheth shall be unclean, and the soul that toucheth it shall be unclean until even. Thus far. Let us now together read the form for the administration of baptism, which can be found on page 126 in the back of the Psalter. The principal parts of the doctrine of holy baptism are these three. First, that we with our children are conceived and born in sin, and therefore are children of wrath, insomuch that we cannot enter into the kingdom of God except we are born again. This, the dipping in or sprinkling with water, teaches us whereby the impurity of our souls is signified. And we admonish to loathe and humble ourselves before God and seek for our purification and salvation without ourselves. Secondly, holy baptism witnesseth and sealeth unto us the washing away of our sins through Jesus Christ. Therefore, we are baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. For when we are baptized in the name of the Father, God the Father witnesseth and sealeth unto us that he doth make an eternal covenant of grace with us, and adopts us for his children and heirs, and therefore will provide us with every good thing, and avert all evil, or turn it to our profit. And when we are baptized in the name of the Son sealeth unto us that he doth wash us in his blood from all our sins, incorporating us into the fellowship of his death and resurrection, so that we are freed from all our sins and accounted righteous before God. In like manner, when we are baptized in the name of the Holy Ghost, the Holy Ghost assures us by this holy sacrament that he will dwell in us and sanctify us to be members of Christ, applying unto us that which we have in Christ, namely, the washing away of our sins and the daily renewing of our lives, till we shall finally be presented without spot or wrinkle among the assembly of the elect in life eternal. Thirdly, whereas in all covenants there are contained two parts, therefore are we, by God through baptism, admonished of and obliged unto new obedience, namely, that we cleave to this one God, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, that we trust in him and love him with all our hearts, with all our souls, with all our mind, and with all our strength, that we forsake the world, crucify our old nature, and walk in a new and holy life. And if we sometimes through weakness fall into sin, we must not therefore despair of God's mercy, nor continue in sin, since baptism is a seal and undoubted testimony that we have an eternal covenant of grace with God. And although our young children do not understand these things, we may not therefore exclude them from baptism, for as they are without their knowledge partakers of the condemnation in Adam, so are they again received unto grace in Christ, as God speaketh unto Abraham, the father of all the faithful, and therefore unto us and our children, saying, I will establish my covenant between me and thee, and thy seed after thee, in their generations, for an everlasting covenant, to be a God unto thee and to thy seed after thee. This also the apostle Peter testifieth with these words, for the promise is unto you and to your children, and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Therefore God formerly commanded them to be circumcised, which was a seal of the covenant and of the righteousness of faith. And therefore Christ has embraced them, laid his hands upon them, and blessed them. Since then, baptism is come in the place of circumcision, and therefore infants are to be baptized as heirs of the kingdom of God and of his covenant, and parents are in duty bound further to instruct their children herein when they shall arrive to the years of discretion, that therefore this holy ordinance of God may be administered to his glory, to our comfort and to the edification of his church. Let us call upon his name.
Let us try to pray. O almighty and eternal God, thou who hast through, according to thy severe judgment, punished the unbelieving and unrepentant world with the flood, and hast according to thy great mercy saved and protected believing Noah and his family, thou who hast drowned the obstinate Pharaoh and his host in the Red Sea, and hast led thy people Israel through the midst of the sea upon dry ground, by which baptism was signified, we beseech thee that thou wilt be pleased of thine infinite mercy graciously to look upon these children and incorporate them by thy Holy Spirit into thy Son, Jesus Christ, that they may be buried with him into his death and be raised with him in newness of life, that they may daily follow him, joyfully bearing their cross, and cleave unto him in true faith, firm hope, and ardent love, that they may with a comfortable sense of thy favor leave this life, which is nothing but a continual death, and at the last day it may appear without terror before the judgment seat of Christ thy Son, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who with thee and the Holy Ghost, one only God, lives and reigns forever. Amen. While the children are brought in, let us sing from Psalter 213, stanzas 2 and 3. Instructing our sons, we gladly record the praises, the works, the might of the Lord. For he hath commanded that what he hath done be passed in tradition from father to son. 2 and 3 of Psalter 213. I now request the parents to arise and to answer the following questions. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, you have heard that baptism is an ordinance of God to seal unto us and to our seed his covenant. Therefore, it must be used for that end, and not out of custom or a superstition, that it may then be manifest that you are thus minded. You are to answer sincerely to the following questions. First, whether you acknowledge that although our children are conceived and born in sin, and therefore are subject to all miseries, yea, to condemnation itself, yet that they are sanctified in Christ, and therefore as members of his church ought to be baptized. Secondly, whether you acknowledge the doctrine which is contained in the Old and New Testaments and in the articles of the Christian faith, and which is taught here in this Christian church to be the true and perfect doctrine of salvation. Third, whether you promise and intend to see these children when come to the years of discretion whereof you are parents, instructed and brought up in the aforesaid doctrine, or help or cause them to be instructed therein to the utmost of your power. What is your answer, Mr. and Mrs. Peter Janssen? Mr. and Mrs. Eric van Driesten? Mr. and Mrs. Brian Slingerland? Parents, we have sung together and we have just heard how that it is your duty as parents to instruct your children when they shall arrive to years of discretion. And when our children arrive to those years, and then it is very natural for them to begin to ask questions. And thus, when your child will ask you, Mother or Father, why am I baptized? Then what will you answer them? Then you must tell your child that they are baptized because it is commanded by the Lord. Then it is possible your child is still asking why. Why is it that the Lord has commanded us to be baptized? And then you must answer them because that baptism that is a sign of the covenant of the Lord. What then is mother? Or what then is Father? A covenant. And then you have such an opportunity and such a responsibility and such a solemn duty to speak about the old covenant, that covenant that has been broken, and then also to be speaking about that new covenant, that covenant that cannot be broken. And then it is necessary for you to make a distinction, that is, between that covenant in its substance, that covenant of grace, and that covenant in its outward form, that their baptism, that does not bring them into that covenant in an automatic way, but that they still need to be born again. And when your child is asking about the sign of that covenant, and then you may say that sign that is water. And when that child is old enough to understand, then he will be asking after the meaning of that water. And then you may speak to him about cleansing and about holiness. And because by that water, your child that is set apart. And thus that water that is speaking in the first place about the need for cleansing, that they must be cleansed. And why? Because they are unholy. So they have been brought into this world, and then you may tell them how that there has come to them, that it is not only them, but child that is coming from me. As Job has said, that who can bring forth a clean thing out of an unclean? And then that sign that is speaking to them, how the Lord says, be holy, for I am holy. But that sign is also speaking to them about how it is possible to be cleansed. He says, wash and be clean. And thus you have such a great responsibility. You have such a great duty. But you also have such a great privilege. That is to speak about the fall. And then to speak also about a way of grace. And we hope that the Lord may give you what you need to so instruct your children. But how will that be if your child may hear it from you? And if you are perhaps even a little gifted, that you may be able to explain it. And that child would never once have felt in his whole life that my father or my mother, they also need this cleaning. And we hope that this also may be experienced in your own life, that it also may come across unto your children. May the Lord remember you and your children. Congregation, after the amen of baptism, we ask you to arise and to sing Psalter 425, stanza 5. Jaylene Janetta, I baptize thee in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Levi Jesse, I baptize thee in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Karina Marie, I baptize thee in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Let us now close with thanksgiving and at the same time ask a blessing for this service. Almighty God and merciful Father, we thank and praise Thee that Thou hast forgiven us and our children all our sins through the blood of Thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, and received us through Thy Holy Spirit as members of Thine only begotten Son, and adopted us to be Thy children, and sealed and confirmed the same unto us by holy baptism, we beseech Thee, through the same Son of Thy love, that Thou wilt be pleased always to govern these baptized children by Thy Holy Spirit, that they may be piously and religiously educated, increase and grow up in the Lord Jesus Christ, that they may then acknowledge Thy fatherly goodness and mercy which Thou hast shown to them and us, and live in all righteousness under our only teacher, King and High Priest, Jesus Christ, and manfully fight against and overcome sin, the devil, and his whole dominion, to the end that they may eternally praise and magnify Thee and Thy Son, Jesus Christ, together with the Holy Ghost, the one only true God. Strengthen these parents in that most holy and solemn duty that Thou hast laid upon their shoulders, in granting unto them these blessed gifts out of Thy hand, that they may daily find a place at Thy footstool, where they may cry to Thee in all their shortcomings and with all their needs. And wilt Thou give unto them that grace, that they cannot miss when they carry this great responsibility through their life. And indeed, not only them, but all of us together who have this responsibility laid upon our shoulders. Wilt Thou forgive what is amiss in Thy holy sight? But wilt Thou also give all together that hope that is to be found also in this blessed sacrament, that Thou wilt fulfill Thine own promise to work amongst Thy congregations, wherein Thou hast planted Thy holy word, wherein Thou dost give that Thy triune name and may be placed upon the forehead as sign and seal unto Thy church, that Thou hast promised that it will be for Thee and for Thy children, and that Thou wilt work in the midst of the churches and through the generations. O Lord, we beseech Thee, because from our side we have forfeited every blessing, and Thou knowest all that comes against it also in the days in which we live. But Thy word that shall never fall unto the ground, and but Thou wilt fulfill everything that Thou hast spoken. Oh, could it please Thee then to look upon us and our children, Lord, that Thou may arise in the days in which we live with them, wherein Satan goes about to seek their soul, to destroy it. And Thou knowest his devices, that they are multiplied exceedingly in our days. Oh, then it is such a wonder If a man may be converted unto thee, a young person, a boy or a girl, Lord, wilt thou show that thou art stronger than the devil, and that thou art stronger than death, and that thou hast put away the sin of thy people, and that thou art bringing in thy kingdom even unto the end of the world. Oh, that it may be evident also in our midst, and thou wilt stop us upon our way as we are walking upon a pathway to an eternal destruction, with not a care, with not a concern, with not a true desire for the living God, but seeking all that is here below, with so much intensity of desire, with so much vanity within our hearts, O Lord, wilt thou use thy means, whatever that they may be, that thou would stop us on our way, that thou would arrest us, and that thou would not permit us to go on anymore. That we would have to turn about, that we would have to come on our knees in our inner chamber before thee, that we have to smite upon our breast and to say, O God, be merciful to me, the sinner. Oh, that the precious and all-atoning blood of thine only and dear begotten Son may become so necessary in the sight of each and every one of us, and that we could not live on in that way that we have been born. Wilt thou remember thy church? Or wilt thou give them a little courage to speak of thy ways and of thy work, that it may be for the drawing of many? And wilt thou encourage them also and strengthen them in that hope of the coming of thy kingdom, even under thy holy word and the administration of thy sacrament? And wilt thou look upon us as a congregation? Oh, then added unto us our members, that the congregation may grow. Lord, we beseech thee, that it may not be for us a savor of death unto death, but that it may be a savor of life unto life, and that it may be seen and felt among us, and that there is also growth in the true kingdom of God, and that there are thy people, and that they are born again in the midst of us, and that thy spirit that is working, and that it is raising up new ones to be born in Zion, and that there is a weeping for sin, and that there is a turning from sin, and that there is a walking in tenderness through this world, according to all thy commandments and thy statutes, and that there is a fleeing from vanity, that there is a desire to hear thy word. Lord, that thou may remember all thy true children. Oh, look them up this day. Feed them, Lord, whom thou hast given life. Also over the length and the breadth of the whole world, increase their numbers. Remember also the needy, the little child that was not able to be baptized in this morning because of sickness. Lord, thou art above everything, and thou knowest all the reasons. And but wilt thou grant health and strength once again, and supply also for the parents and all the needy, and all the afflicted and all those that mourn. Look upon us in this morning, and then we hope to speak a little out of thy word, O Lord. Could it please thee to come among us? Could it please thee to open thy word to us, that there may be food and drink in thy house, for the needy, for the poor, for the hungry and for the thirsty, that they may eat thy body, that they may drink of thy blood, and that they may experience that heavenly nourishment and that heavenly joy. Look upon us then in thy mercy, forgiving all our sins for Jesus' sake. Amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter number 57, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. The earth is the earth and the fullness with which it is stored. The world and its dwellers belong to the Lord. For he on the seas its foundations has laid, and firm on the waters its pillars has stayed. And firm on the waters, its pillars has stayed. We announce that the adult and other catechism students who have not received a book may do so downstairs after this afternoon's service. The last collection today is for the Emeritus Fund, Psalter 57, all stanzas. congregation, the words of our text for this morning hour can be found in God's Word, that portion that was read to you, Numbers 19, and thereof the last part of the ninth verse. Numbers 19, verse 9, the last words, "It is a purification for sin." So far, the words of our text. And this text that speaks about the red heifer offering. First, for what this offering was required. Second, in what this offering consisted. And third, to what this offering pointed. The red heifer offering, it is a purification for sin. First, for what it was required. Second, in what it consisted. And third, to what it pointed. We have considered, congregation, together something of the testimony of the Lord. That is the Lord's testimony concerning our deep fall. That the Lord, when he has commanded that an altar had to be made, that the Lord has testified to his people that there is no possibility that a man can satisfy for himself, that a substitute is necessary. And not only that it is necessary, but also that he says that he is willing to receive it. We have heard likewise about the golden altar of incense, and the command to build that altar that was a testimony from the side of the Lord that the supplications of his people, they cannot come before the throne of God outside of the cleansing power of the blood of Christ. We have seen something about the guilt of sin. How that sin that makes a man guilty. And the fruit of the passion of Christ for the forgiveness of sin by the sin offering. But that sin that not only makes a man guilty, but that sin that also makes us debtors. And the provision of the Lord concerning the debt of his church in the trespass offering. And now in this morning hour, also in connection with the sacrament of holy baptism, then we wish to consider another aspect of sin. And likewise, another aspect of the fruits of the suffering and the dying of the Lord Jesus Christ. What is now that aspect of sin that we must consider in this day? That is the defilement of sin. That is not the guilt of sin. That is not that sin makes us a debtor to one another and to God. But the defilement of sin. That sin that makes us filthy, that sin that makes us polluted. When was this offering, the red heifer offering, required of the children of Israel? Well, we read in the first place that it was required when a man was defiled by a dead body. That is, when he came into contact with a human corpse or with the corpse of an animal. This was the most serious, the most significant of all of the defilements that were possible for that Old Testament people. A defilement by a human corpse that was more serious. And then a person was unclean for 7 days. It was not necessary to touch the corpse. But a person only had to be in the vicinity of the corpse. And that defilement that was communicable, thus it could be passed from that defiled person onto another person. On the other hand, when a person was defiled by the corpse of an animal, that was only lasting for a single day, and that was something that was necessary he was becoming defiled by touching that animal. That was not possible just to be in the vicinity of that corpse. And this defilement by the carcass of an animal, that was not communicable from one person onto the other. Thus, the first and the most serious case wherein a person was defiled. We read in the second place that persons were defiled by leprosy. That was defiling the person himself, but it was also defiling a person who came into contact, direct contact with this person. A leper, he was actually considered among the dead. And a leper had certain obligations. Then they had to rend their clothes. They had to leave their hair uncombed. They had to cover their upper lip, and they had to warn everyone that was about them that they were a leper. Thus, they had to cry out, unclean, unclean. Later on, we can read that lepers, they have been permitted to come into the synagogue to worship. But they had to then come early. They had to come in first, arriving by a separate entrance, sitting in a prescribed place, and leaving after everyone else had left. Sickness, that is a little bit of death. Sickness, that is actually the beginning of death. Do you realize that, boys and girls, when we become sick, many times, years ago, little children, when they became sick, they died. That does not happen today as often. It still happens. That does not happen as often today as it used to happen, but sickness, that is pointing unto death. There is a third way wherein a person could be defiled, and that was by what are called issues. An issue that is a representation of the flowing away of life. That is when there was an issue of blood that could be by a particular disease, or it could be through a natural cycle, or it could be by the birth of a child. We read also of other issues as the issuing forth of the seed of copulation, which did make a person defiled after childbirth. Then a mother was defiled. She was defiled for 40 days. Then she had borne a son. She was defiled for 80 days when she had borne a daughter. These last defilements of issues, they were the least serious of the defilements by way of degree. And they did not actually even need the red heifer offering, but were cleansed merely by water. The red heifer offering, thus, that had not to do with guilt. The red heifer offering that did not have to do with the debt of sin. But the red heifer offering that had to do with the pollution, the defilement, that sin is bringing unto man. God, congregation, is holy. And God has made us holy. When he has created you and I, then the Lord has said, behold, it is very good. And then it was possible that the Lord would dwell with us. Because we read that the Lord is coming to Adam. And then he is speaking to Adam when he was in that garden. But after sin came into the world, that was not possible anymore. And why not? Because of the defilement. Because of the corruption that is the consequence of sin. Therefore, boys and girls, we also do not bring the animals, the cattle, a pig, a goat, a sheep. We do not bring them in our house. Why not? Because those animals, they are filthy. The cleanest of your barns, we would not want to live in them. Therefore, the Lord, he also could not dwell with men because of the corruption, because of the filth, because of the pollution that has come upon man because of sin. And therefore, we read that the Lord, he is sending man away. He has to go out of that garden. Because God is holy. There is a difference between justification and sanctification. Justification, that is to remove the guilt of sin. That is, that a man may receive the right of communion with God. We have seen that in the sin offering. But sanctification that has to do with the removal of the pollution of sin. And that is also necessary. Not that man receives a right, but that that man receives the ability that he may come and that he may dwell in that communion with the Lord. How is that possible? Because Paul, he says, he complains about the body of death. And that body of death, that is a body that remains with God's church to the last breath that they take in this world. But the Apostle Paul, he speaks about Christ. He says, but of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who is unto us wisdom, justification, sanctification, and redemption. Thus, we have seen something of that justification in that sin offering. We have seen something of the redemption that is in him, in that trespass offering. But now that red heifer offering, that is speaking about that third thing that Paul is speaking about, that is about sanctification, that is the pollution, the corruption, that is the consequence of sin. The Lord demands holiness. Why? He says, be holy, for I am holy. And that is not only on account of our creation, because the Lord has made us good, and also able to remain holy, to stand in that holiness. But it is also necessary on account of the covenant. That is, to whom is the Lord speaking here? That is not to all the world, but the Lord is speaking unto his covenant people, unto Israel. That is the people that the Lord says, I have made a difference between you and all the nations of the world, that I have brought you into covenant with myself. Why? That ye may be a peculiar people, that you may be a holy people, that you may be a separate people, that you may be a holy land. And when that was the Lord's desire and his will for that entire nation, then you understand that is the need for every single individual of that nation. And that is why the Lord, he is requiring in that ceremonial law, this ceremonial cleansing. That is not that they may be sanitary. That is only a, we would say, it is incidental. It is a side effect. But it was that the Lord, through this law, that he is teaching his people by way of symbols, holiness. And what is the great obstacle to holiness? That is sin. That is sin. The wages of sin, that is death. Sin permeates. Sin permeates the body. Sin permeates the soul. And the consequences of that sin and the permeation of that sin, that is seen in death. That is seen in the decomposition of the body. That is seen in sickness. That is seen in leprosy. That is seen in issues wherein life is pictured as flowing out of that body. And therefore, for all of these defilements, the Lord is requiring purification. We see that in the red heifer offering. Why? Because our text that says it is a purification for sin. We see that in our second thought, in what this consisted. What is the chief means what is the chief means for cleansing? That is water. That is why we have that sign in holy baptism, water. But then in a special way, we can read that is living water. We read that in this chapter, that they must put in this vessel running water. Running water, that was fresh water. Water that was flowing, or living water. What does the Lord complain to his people about? He says, my people, they have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and they have hewed them out cisterns. They were not only broken, but they were cisterns. That was still water. We would say that is dead water. Thus, the prophet speaks about him as being living water. He says that of also himself, the Lord Jesus, to the Samaritan woman. Then he says, if you had asked of me, then I would have given unto you living water. Thus, living water, that is a representation of life. And the application of living water, that water to be applied to someone, that is a representation of the restoration of life, of the giving of life. But often we put something in water. What do we put in water, boys and girls? Well, you say, when we want to use water to cleanse, then we put soap in water, because that soap, that increases the cleansing power of that water. When something is very, very dirty. And you are right. And so it was the same for Israel. That for the greater defilements, then it was necessary that the children of Israel would put something in that water. And what must they put in that water? Ashes. You say, what will that do for cleansing? No, that is not as soap in a natural way, but that is for instruction. That is instruction to that people about the cleansing power of that water. Ashes of what? Well, that had to be the ashes of a very special sin offering. The most intense of all the sin offerings that were offered by the children of Israel, namely the red heifer offering. Thus we see here the very close connection that the Lord makes between sin and uncleanness. Because the Lord says, when you are defiled, then I require a sin offering. But then the object that was not to remove sin per se, but that was to remove the defilement of that sin, that was to cleanse from the pollutions of that sin, from death itself, from the curse of sin. And therefore, it was not as the sin offerings that we have spoken of before, but it was as a modification of that sin offering. So how was this sin offering, the red heifer offering, how was that offering different? And how was that offering very special? And what was the meaning? What did it symbolize? Well, in the first place, the other sin offerings were bullocks. They were males. But this offering, that had to be a female. And why? Because the female is the bearer of life. Adam called his wife's name Eve because she was the mother of all living. And then we have to remember that this cleansing here, that is for the removal of so then that offering, the object of that offering, that had to speak about the bringing in of life. Thus, that had to be a female, not a male. In the second place, that had to be red. That had to be completely red. That there was not an hair white or black. And why? Because red, that is the color of life once again. Remember that life that is in the blood. And that red color that is revealing itself in the redness of the face, in the redness of the lips. That is that color that is disappearing in death. Thus, that redness of that heifer, that is speaking not only about life, but life in its intensity, in its redness. That heifer must be one upon which there has never come a yoke. Why? Because that heifer must not have had its energy, its vitality to have been broken through laboring under the yoke. It must be full of energy, of vital energy. That red heifer that had to be without blemish. You say all of the sin offerings had to be without blemish. That is true. But the red heifer offering in a very special way. Why? You remember, boys and girls, what was done with the sin offerings. Then the hens, they were laid, they were pushed upon the head of that offering. What did that mean? That meant that that sin of that person or the congregation that was imputed, that was transferred onto that animal. Well, it also goes the other way. Because not only is sin imputed onto Christ, but the holiness that is imputed unto that people. So in a very special way, that red heifer of all the sin offerings had to be a representation of non-blemish, pure, that it may be transferred, the holiness of it unto the children of Israel. Thus we see in all these things that that young cow that is pointing to life, life in its fullness, life in its freshness, life in its vigor, all as the antidote to death. But there is more, because the sin offerings, they were offered upon the brazen altar in the court. And it is true that the sin offerings for the whole congregation, they had to be burned without the camp. But this one, the entire offering was not taking place in the court. But that entire offering that is taking place outside of the camp of Israel. Why? Because God cannot dwell with sin. That is a symbol that pollution of that people that is imputed unto this animal. Thus, a representation of fallen man. That man is lying in the midst of death. And that the Lord, he cannot dwell with it. That it has to go out of his holy presence, out of his holy sight, and it will not come near unto that tabernacle of the Lord where the Lord is dwelling, outside of the camp. And that animal that had to be completely burnt, there was some blood that was sprinkled toward the tabernacle, but the rest of the blood and everything that had to be burnt together, that it may also the blood mix itself with those ashes. Thus, they become impregnated also with the blood. Thus we see that there is something of life that is in those ashes. And not only so, but that had all to be done before the priest, not the high priest, because Eleazar, the priest, in all this ceremony would also become unclean. And Eleazar and Aaron, he had to officiate at the sin offerings. So his son, Eleazar, he had to officiate. And he had to throw three things into the fire. Do you remember what they were when we read them? The first one, that was cedar wood. And those that are older of us will know what cedar wood is. That is a wood that is very, very lasting, that does not decompose. So cedar wood, the throwing of cedar wood into that fire, that was a symbol of the imperishable existence. So there was ashes, they will come out of the fire. Those ashes, they come through the fire. Those ashes could not be destroyed. And that cedar wood had that same picture. That is something that was not able to decompose, not liable, as it were, unto death. He had to throw hyssop. Hyssop, that is a symbol for purification. And lastly, scarlet wool. Thus, that picture again of that red, deep, deep red color. The strongest vitality of life. That is, we see again, that life that is going into those ashes. There is life, as it were, in that death. Thus those ashes, they represent the ultimate perfection, the strengthening of life as it is coming through the fire, as it is being refined by the fire. And those ashes now had to be mixed with the waters of purification. They were the waters of cleansing. That was an offering different from all the rest, in that it only happened once. That is, not like the offerings for other sins, that they were offered for each person and for every sin or every transgression, then there was an offering. But the red heifer offering was only once. Of course, when all those ashes were gone, then they had to do it again. But the meaning is that it is one offering for everyone. And then there is only a small part of those ashes that are mixed with the water of purification that may cleanse all that is defiled. Thus, that red heifer offering that is pointing in all its aspects to the sacrifice of the highest life, that is the symbol of life in all its fullness and all its vitality, that is being offered as a sacrifice for a sin offering once for all. And with it, the symbols of life that cannot perish. The symbols of that life which is incorruptible. The symbols of that life that will never end in death. Congregation, what does Paul say? The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God, that is eternal life, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let us sing 141 and 3. God, be merciful to me. On thy grace I rest my plea. Plenteous in compassion thou, blot out my transgressions now, wash me. Make me pure within, cleanse, oh, cleanse me from my sin. 1 and 3 of Psalter 140. And a clean person shall sprinkle upon the unclean on the third day, and on the seventh day, and on the seventh day he shall purify himself and wash his clothes, and bathe himself in water, and shall be clean at even. But the man that shall be unclean and shall not purify himself, that soul shall be cut off from among the congregation, because he hath defiled the sanctuary of the Lord. The water of separation hath not been sprinkled upon him. He is unclean. There is a repetition, verse 13. Whosoever toucheth the dead body of any man that is dead and purifieth not himself, defileth the tabernacle of the Lord, and that soul shall be cut off from Israel. Because the water of separation was not sprinkled upon him, he shall be unclean. His uncleanness is yet upon him. He is unclean. And because he is unclean, he must be cut off from the congregation of the Lord. Either God will cut him off, or God does command those in authority to cut him off. That is his punishment. That is not only for being unclean, but that is congregation for remaining unclean. For remaining unclean. When the Lord had given to them a provision, and he said unto them that they must be cleansed. Do you know what that means? That means that there were people also in the Old Testament that did not see the need to be cleansed. They did not believe that they were defiled and that despised, maybe not outwardly, but they despised that water of cleansing. Sin that makes us guilty. Sin that makes us debtors. But sin that also corrupts, that makes us filthy. Do you ever feel that? This morning we had the sacrament of baptism. And in the Old Testament they had the sacrament of circumcision. The meaning is the same. And a meaning that is cleansing. In circumcision, then there was a removal of the foreskin. That was the mark of the separation of that people from all the nations of the world. What kind of mark was that? That was a mark of cleanliness. That was to be a mark of holiness. And why that mark? Because moral impurity that is revealing itself in a very peculiar way in the reproductive organs. Why was it that a woman that had committed adultery did not need to be received again by her husband? That is because of her uncleanness. Do you ever feel that, young people? Because Satan is so busy. What do you think, girls and boys, men and women, about purity? Because Satan is busy to make this whole world so corrupt that it would be destroyed like Sodom and Gomorrah. Are you careful with your purity? Do you avoid those places in dating young people where there may be a temptation that you may fall into sin because you know beforehand that you have an evil, that you have an impure heart? Pornography, that is a sin that is especially corrupting the world in which we are living. It is the sin of adultery. And that is ruining marriages. And that is ruining even the ability of young people to be married, which is the very foundation of our society. Satan knows well what he is doing to bring not only our society, but also the churches to ruin, to ruin, to make us congregation to be loathsome. So loathsome in the eyes of that holy God that he would destroy us. Do you have a filter on your internet, parents, young people? I don't mean just those times when you have to give an answer so that you can come and baptize your children. And then you can be in good conscience and then you take it off again. Because the Lord knows what is our desire. How is it with your telephones, young people? Parents, our children, they do not need a data connection. For what? They can use that phone. They can text on that phone without data. They do not need that internet on their telephone. Oh, please. Please, parents, you have given an answer in baptism. What is happening to us? We have no excuse. The Lord is warning us. He tells us that sin defiles. And we mention one. Because in our world, that comes so in the foreground. But every sin that is defiling, defiling the conscience, baptism that speaks about cleansing, and a cleansing not only of our life, but also of our heart. And now we are warned that when we are not cleansed, that we will be cut off from the congregation of the Lord. Why? Because without holiness, no man shall see the Lord, and there shall enter into glory nothing nothing that defileth. But not only does the Lord warn us, the Lord also shows to us what that remedy is. Listen, Paul, if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of an heifer, that is the red heifer offering, sprinkling the unclean, sanctifieth to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. That is the epitome of life. All the blood, he says, of Christ, that is him who is the highest life, who is life in all its vital energy. He says, I am the life. He is the beginning of life. He is the end of life. There is with him no creation of life. There is with him no ceasing of life. He is the bearer of life. He is the giver of life. And what has he done? He has suffered without the gate upon Golgotha's height as the antitype of that great red heifer offering. And now as that cedar wood that was thrown into that fire, he has seen no corruption. Death, congregation that had no dominion over him. No dominion over him. But he came through that fire. And he has arisen. The third day, behold, he liveth. And what does he say to his church? He says, because I live, ye shall live also. How is that possible? He has given his ashes. He has given them for the sprinkling of the unclean. Of the unclean. Parents, you had your child that was in this day sprinkled. The Baptists, they say no. That must a person must go down under the water and he must come out of the water. But we can read it over and over in the Word of God. How that the Lord is speaking through that sprinkling about a blessed cleansing. And you have confessed what it was for that church, what it is for that church, that they are not only born in sin, but that they are sanctified in Christ. That is, that they are cleansed in him. O congregation, is there then a people that need it? Do you know what the Lord says when he looks upon us? He says, from the sole of the foot, even unto the head, there is no soundness in it. It is wounds. It is bruises. It is putrefying sores. But congregation, is there also a people that experience this? The filth, the pollution, the corruption of my heart, of my life, before a holy God. Because of sin. What did that bride say? She said, I am black. What did Job say? He says, behold, I am vile. All that is the experience of the church. That is what is lived out day by day. And Paul, he said, there is no hope from my sight that I can make it better. Who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Is there such a people? Because we read in the Bible of a man, he was full of leprosy. And we read he came there and he fell down on his face before the Lord Jesus. And he said to him, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. There are young people that need that. Oh, Lord, so filthy, so polluted, so corrupt. Oh, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And what did he say? He said, I will. Be thou clean. O congregation, that is that sacrifice. The sacrifice for guilt. That sacrifice for debt. That sacrifice for cleansing. Is there now a people that begin to say, he is white. Chiefest among 10,000. Yea, he is altogether lovely. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, instruct us out of thy word in what we are and what we need and what thou hast provided. Make precious unto us the blood of thy dear Son. For thou knowest all our hearts. Bring us safely to our places in this morning hour. And with desire together in this afternoon, help him that will go before us. Be thou in our midst as one that serveth. For Jesus' sake, amen. 4:19, 2 and 3. A mighty stream of foul transgression prevails from day to day. But thou, O God, in great compassion, will purge my guilt away. 2 and 3 of 419.
Thou hast chosen.
Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessings.